Abanigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. And we're wishing everybody a good day, good evening, where we have lively discussions on issues that the African American community deals with. I want to start off quickly, Ernest and Ahi, and whoever else is on, I can't see him. But let me just say that a lot of things have happened in the last couple of weeks or month. First of all, the election of where the so-called Democratic people swept it. And then there was this big election in New York with Mamdani, a Muslim, got elected mayor with 50% of the vote. Ernest, what do you think about that?
I think people probably waking up. Well, I think that a lot of people, you know, they see what's going on, and then they were kind of with this last major election we had, they were disappointed, and I don't think a lot of people kind of got into it. But then now they see what this new president, we got to see what he's trying to do. He's trying to turn back history and bring more lies out, and man, and it's like a bunch of crooks and mafia is running the government now, which is probably flaky to begin with, but now it's really bad. So, you know, and we facing a lot of things. People thinking, well, what can we do with it? Kind of finding out. You go to that ballot box. That's how you defeat this kind of things, you know. So people, I think they're starting to realize that more. And then we got a lot of organizations just really, you know, they out there working the streets and getting people involved. So, and I think that's helping out a lot. And then this thing, like you say, the election in New York and all these minor elections that we had the past week or so is kind of proving that fact out, that people starting to realize, hey, we got to go vote if we expect our rights to be defended, you know, because just because we got a law saying you got a right to do this and that, you know, we have to constantly defend that, because it's kind of bring back memories to me. And my dad always told me, he said, this fight is going to be like forever, you know, in his mind. It's not just doing my time, because what things I'm fighting for now, you're going to have to fight to defend it. And then I see his, you know, there's some truthful in that, because I can see that happening. So people just got to stay alert. You know, programs like this, like you got to be aware of what's going on. Because if we fall asleep at the wheel, before you know it, we'll be back where we started, you know.
Yeah, but I just want to know what you think about a Muslim being elected and what he stood for. Did you follow him at all?
Who's that?
Did you follow Mamdani as far as his platform?
No, I didn't, because I was kind of unaware of that till you brought that out a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, then. Ahi? Ahi, you there?
Yes, 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 sir, Professor.
What did you say in Detroit about Mamdani winning?
Well, I can tell you what I feel about it. I feel that the Democratic Party was not able to get in the way of his election. And he is speaking and a reflection of the people there in New York. And the Democratic Party has been out of touch with the people who have overwhelmingly on the left side voted with them just because they were voting for the lesser of two evils. But he touched a nerve with the people there and the Democratic Party. He was able to keep them at bay, even though he considers himself a Democrat. And the people spoke. Now, in the past and currently, the Democratic Party, with the way that they approach toward people like Bernie Sanders, the brown girls, and even our black caucus within the Democratic Party being a part of the machine, have voted and have pushed their agenda against what the people want. And so you end up with these people who are complicit with corporate America, with AIPAC, which determines a lot of what the media and what the Democratic Party is about now, who are very reluctant to take a stern stance against the genocide of not only the people in the Gaza, which is the popular war, but let's not forget Sudan, who has had more people killed and displaced than Gaza and Ukraine and Russia, both together. But they were reluctant to speak out against any of this because they're paid off. And they're, look, you have Republicans in the Democratic Party. You have people who ran under the Democratic flag, a woman in particularly, and then turned Republican once she got the nomination, almost immediately after she got in that office. You have red underwearing, underwear wearing, blue coat wearing people, cheap wolves in sheep clothes. That's if you're a Democrat, a liberal. Within the Democratic Party, they can't embrace everybody, and it seems like the moderate to the conservative Democrats are winning over the liberal wing, which is supposed to be what the Democrat Party is all about. So they were not able to get in the way of the mayor of New York, even though he was a socialist Muslim, speaking, I mean, straight out, not running from it, not shame from it. And the people showed that they are not the media, they are not the machine, but they are the people, and they have a voice, which has been ignored the last in the modern era, because we always vote for the lesser of two evils. The people make it clear who they want, but the machine always try and dictate their outcome and the dictum. They stuck Biden in there and took Bernie out. And the people clearly was behind the younger people, which is what who they claim they want, and some moderate, and all the liberals were with Bernie. So he was able to minimize the effect of the Democratic Party having any negative influence in his run. And believe me, they were trying, along with the Republicans, who was calling him everything but, a son of God. So that's on that part. That's how I feel about the mayor of New York. Okay, so that's the only question we're talking about here.
Is anybody else on that want to make a comment? Okay, then. What I recognize is, first of all, it was really a victory for the people. I mean, they actually beat the political machine that generally determines who gets elected from both parties. And that's very important that we give credit to the people that came out and voted for him, despite the millions of dollars and game they changed, getting Adams to drop out to let the other guy run, and then Trump getting behind him, and then at the same time, very few of the Democrats endorsed him. He's supposed to be a democratic socialist, a socialist from that standpoint, and Barry, he'll be right back to let you in. And so it was very important that we give credit to that. Second, it was a victory for the progressive. Never before a man jump up and say he wants free buses for people to get on the bus free and put a rent freeze on and try to get more control of the economy and want to have government ran or city ran markets. That's heavy, man. That's heavy, heavy to do that. And I don't know if y'all heard that, but that was very important. Second, I mean, third, he was principled. He said, "I'm a Muslim, and I'm not going to ever back down from that." He even went to he took Africana studies. He majored in Africana studies. I think his father taught Africana studies somewhere, so he had a sense of consciousness. But above all, he was principled, and he ran a very organized campaign. Over 104,000 volunteers, Ernest. 104,000 volunteers. That's a lot of volunteers. You understand? And so he went he ran a campaign that went door to door, went places most people didn't go. So you got to give him credit for the strategy that he did. And then fourthly, it's a model for others and an inspiration for others to do use the same tactic or strategy for a future election. I mean, to address the economy the way he did, and to and even in his a statement, I mean, his speech right after his victory, he said, "Listen, Trump, turn the volume up." Because he knew this was a victory over Trumpism. Just like today, a Democratic and a Republican Congress and Senate all unanimously voted to let the Epstein files out, which Trump fought hard not to. But he had to acquiesce because of so many issues that he had that he couldn't where people were breaking away, it was going to pass anyway. So what he did was join it and say, "Hey, I'll take my chances on my loyalists," which is very important. But not only that, then you deal with, like I said, Mao's the internet, and he defeated, as he was saying, AIPAC, who generally ran New York for many, that's one of the strongest lobbying group in New York. So that was very good. But above all, he brought together the various coalitions that was necessary for him to get elected in New York. Now, why does that affect black people? Because many black people voted for him. The majority of young black people voted. The other candidates were relying on the older people to come out to vote. They didn't expect so many young people to come out and vote. So you see a changing of the guard through struggle and through strategies that made the people feel that not only they were voting against the established order of today with Trumpism, but they were voting for something. He gave them something to vote for, which is very critical in this day and age, and us trying to get our young people out. You know, what can we? Tell them, like, if one of the Democratic people say, I'm for just getting young people free tuition to go to college. You understand? You know, that's the reason for people to come out and vote. I'm for manpower development for young people that they get, we're going to find programs to get jobs for young people. You know, that's some people to go for. What the Democratic Party was doing was just saying anti-Trump, anti-Trump. But they didn't come up with strategies like Mondani did to get people to vote for him. I mean, when he said free bus rides, you know how many people in New York, I mean, that's all they got, driving tramps. Because there's no parking. You know, if you've ever been in New York, just four islands straight up, and everything is straight up and straight down. And even the projects, you know, like in Chicago, their projects were 2 and 3 stories high because of the land problem that they had. So, but anyway, Mondami did that. And so at the same time, you know, we, as a people, have to count your victories. Count the progressive movement. This also led, as I said, to other people who were a part of the established order. They even won as Democrats throughout, the governor of Virginia and things of this nature. And I forget the other state, but at the same time, those were big. And then, as he pointed out, lower level people got elected in city councils and things of this nature. So there's a movement on of getting people involved, which is very critical, because when we deal with politics, the pursuit and acquisition and maintaining power strategies, that's what politics is. You know, the pursuit for power, use of power, and maintaining power. That's what politics is all about. As I told you before, politics is war without violence, and war is politics with violence. This man took a position against the established order that was a part of Adams and the former governor of New York positions and the white right wing, and was able to come out victorious. And that's very critical, because he didn't have the money that was put behind those other candidates, but he had the people power. I remember BCCLA, Black Labor Community, BCCLA, Black Community. They did this with George McKenna for the LA Unified School District. George McKenna was asked to run. He had no money, but he had the people behind him. And he got elected to the school board. He's retired now. But that just shows you the power of the people. Now, the other thing is that this, despite them calling him a democratic socialist, which is very important, meaning that he's for social program. That's all democratic socialists mean. He's saying that we pay taxes into the government, they should have more social programs instead of financing rich people and various forms of activity that are not socially development, and for the development of the people. That's why you have so much homelessness. There's not enough social programs, from mental health to affordable housing to employment for people and things of this nature. And that's the beauty of Mamdani's campaign. He addressed those issues and said he's going to try to come up with strategy. Now, he's going to meet a lot of opposition. Don't get me wrong, you can promise people anything, but getting it done is going to be a struggle. And because a lot of people with established order and those that got interest in this keeping things the way they are going to be fighting hard not to change. But with people power, he can't be able to institute some of the ideas and positions that he had. So I think that was a good thing from that standpoint. And not only that, it was a good thing that the Democratic Party swept the elections from that standpoint. And hopefully that's what led to them releasing the Epstein paper. And that's very critical for both houses to unanimously vote to release the Epstein paper, which was a victory for the victim, but it's also a defeat from Trump, who had worked hard in many ways not to get it. And you say, well, what does that got to do with us? Well, it shows that no matter how much a tyrant or racist is in an institution, if you continue the struggle, you can get things done. And this is the beauty of our history. As Ernest talked about the cultural recognition of the culture center recognition of his family and the NAACP, without that struggle that Mr. McBride put in, there wouldn't have been an NAACP. It wouldn't been a historical movement in Long Beach for the election of the first black city councilman and the first black woman top seat, and things of this nature, and a series of other black people that got elected in that district. The only one, they only had one council person from the same district. And that's the beauty. Now they got three. So that shows you. See, people think we ain't doing anything and we're not making progress because they don't sometimes not train how to count their victories, count their champions. Yes. And that's the beauty of us as a people. We wouldn't be out of slavery if it wouldn't be struggle rather than enslavement. We wouldn't have made the liberalize this country during the Reconstruction and civil rights movement and fought against all those things. So that's the beauty of this. But getting back to the Epstein paper, how you see that, Ernest?
What?
The release of the Epstein
Well, it
paper.
should release. I know it's going to be redacted because they're working on it to get Trump's name out of it, but he's all in it. You know, his name. They've been saying his name in the original files. Say his name's all over the place, but you watch and see when they come out with it. It'll be so redacted that most of the people that have knowledge of it and know they know he was involved. He was heavily involved with the Epstein, you know, and Clinton was in there and some. So what he's trying to do now is he's trying to pull a what's the Israel's guy starting all his wars to keep himself out of jail. annihilating people. With Trump trying to do the same thing, because he's down there picking on Venezuela. So while we're trying to get this file out, he wants to start a war to try to get a distraction to keep people off his back, you know. So this is, man, because I know I wondered why Bernie didn't get elected, because my daughter kind of got me on that bandwagon
Oh,
when he
yeah.
was running. Yeah.
Well, he ran.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was
Yeah.
hard at that time because,
The uphill
that's why you
battle.
continue to struggle. But what was the key to Mondlane's victory and this and the movement in New York? See, Bernie was trying to run for president.
Yeah.
This man was just running for New York mayor.
Yeah.
And that's a whole new different level. Even though all politics are local.
A lot of money involved.
I hear what you think about the Epstein, both houses voting unanimously, meaning that it's veto proof. You can't, we
Okay,
can't.
I'm talking about Epstein, but I would just say that had Bernie run independent, he could have limited the Democratic Party's influence in his demise, and he could have gave him a run for real. Okay, now as far as the Epstein thing is, this Water, he's the guy of the majority, the top man in the House, changed his tune all of a sudden.
Yeah, Johnson. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Trump turned around and say, because he can see what the people are talking about, the people are rebelling against him just around this subject. The Epstein, never mind everything else that he's been involved with and corrupting everything, but this Epstein thing is really on fire. I think because so many of these white people and with the evangelical Christians, they have an in they really have a problem, man, with molesting their young girls. They really have a problem with molesting their young girls and this inbreeding and all the rest of this stuff and trying to sweep it up under the rug. But it's come to a point now, it's like a pimple ready to bust. And this is just one of the symptoms of that. And you know, if you have read just a little bit about what the evangelical right and the moral majority, all the way back to the majority or moral majority and back, a lot of the abuse of these women in the church, much like the Catholic Church with the little boys and the girls, a lot of the abuse has been swept under the rug, and it's at a cancerous kind of growth, and they ready to bust that pimple. And Trump knows this and can see this, and that they pushing this from the right and these conservative religious people. Waters is now reversed 180 degrees, where he just refused to even address it. Now, just like Brother Ernest has said, he's 100% on point. Waters is setting it up so that, okay, we're gonna release it eventually, but before we release it, it's gonna be so many things are gonna be taken out. It's gonna be edited so that all the powers to be are gonna do what they normally do and walk away, and these young girls who were taken advantage of are not really going to see justice. They may be financially compensated, but justice is not going to be, I guess that depends on what your idea of justice is. But these people are not going to be punished. The ones who are, even the prince over there. Oh yeah, he had all his titles taken away, but he still got his money. He's able to go away and do what he want to do and probably still deal with the little babies if that's what he want to do. But they are not going to be dealt with like the common people would be dealt with. And maybe a little shame, but not a whole lot of shame, because it's a part of their culture. So Ernest was 100% right. They're going to release what they want you to know, and they're going to edit the rest of it, and these people going to walk, And Trump is going to do, he's the Teflon president. He's going to do what he want to do. Like he said, I'll shoot somebody in the middle of New York Broadway Street or whatever he said. And I walk away. They won't prosecute me. So you get away with murder, you'll get away with this.
Well, he's getting away with murder, and he aided with genocide. He's killing people in Venezuela that don't even know if they got drugs or
No
anything.
question.
Just shooting. And
No
they're just
question.
killing people. So you're right. But getting back to that son, do you think if this would be a major issue if those were black girls they were dealing with? Or because they were young white girls? Ernest?
Probably, probably so. Yeah, if there's, I think if there's white girls, yeah, that's why it's coming on out there. If they was black, they'd probably hush it down more. Because I'm looking at it, it'd probably be more redacted pages than pages you can decipher, when this report does come out. So, it's like you say, you can't put nothing past this administration.
Brother Ali, do you think if it was black girl, it would be this big of an issue?
We wouldn't be talking about it. We wouldn't even know about it.
Well, yeah, because they are,
years from now, they probably bring it up. You probably see it somewhere where they said, this is what happened, so and so and so and so, and we're here to tell the truth now, after the fact. But of course, I mean, you listen, that's what America was built on. And it was built on race, non-white people being exploited to the benefit of white folk, specifically the white man. So,
let me say this. First of all, there's hundreds of black girls missing in Washington, D.C. They had the article on that.
Detroit, L.A.
And then remember that Atlanta killing, where they got this boy Williams and put him in prison, but most people don't think he did it, and to this day he denies it. And some way, there's still kids being mistreated or found dead in certain parts of Atlanta. The other thing is, you look at the Epstein thing is not only one which was very very important to the victims and things of this nature, but at the same time, you have to see it as also a diversion, because it dominated the news so much that there's no more focus on Gaza. Or the other Sudan and Darfur, where genocide, hunger is going on, and it takes away. I mean, it just predominated the media. But to get the people to vote for it, once he saw that he was going to lose it anyway, even if all of them didn't vote, they had enough votes to get it on the agenda. He just joined them. Second, they still feel that he opened up the investigation on Democrats, Clinton, and a few other people, so that he could say, we can't give you all the information because of the investigation. As Ernest was saying, and you too, he. So, but there's two sets of papers being put forth. It's the Justice Department file that have videos and all kind of stuff. And then it's the Epstein estate that has been releasing articles and then emails also. So you gotta see that they can put the Epstein estate papers up against what they release and tell you if they playing games and things of that nature. So, you know, but why is it relevant to us as Black people? Well, first of all, it deals with the issue of child abuse and sexual human trafficking. The same thing they tried to put on Diddy, that he was sexual transported sex and things of this nature. The same thing they tried to get most Black people for. But at the same time, you got to go all the way back in the history of this country where there were some pages, young boys, the congressmen were dating and messing with. And they never really revealed who those congresspeople were. You understand that did that. There was other issues with these congresspeople. Even Clinton getting his penis, you know, in the White House. All of these things show you that they're not the people that they say they are, some of them. And so we as a people, we must capitalize on this momentum. And as Malcolm saying, when the European is divided, that means we have more power because they're divided fighting each other. So we can make moves ourselves. So the moves that we should be making now is one, educating our young people to get more politically conscious and active. That's one thing. You know, our young people must begin to get involved in the struggle. So that's what Martin Luther King did. He got young people involved because he said the old people would lose their jobs if they went to jail. So we had to get young people involved. And they did. That's where SNCC, Student for Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, came into being. This was young people. John Lewis and them, all of them were young. Even the Freedom Bus Ride was done by young people. The infiltration in many segregated areas were young people. We've lost our young to hip hop, lost our young to sexual perversion or activity, lost our young to vaping, and lost our young to just entree of distractions rather than consciousness. And somehow we have to exploit this to the point that we begin to focus on the young people. And that's going back to Mandani. That's what he did. He got young people to vote for him. Rasha Key, you have any comment?
No. I've been in and out. Did you get to Shirley Worrells? Did you get to her?
No, no, go ahead. Ask her to come in. I can't see it.
Do you have, this is Shirley, do you have a question for me?
Yeah, we want to see if you have a comment on what we've been discussing.
No, I really don't. I'm here because I'm interested in hearing other people's views. But I do agree with a lot of what is being said, and I do agree that getting young people excited and engaged is going to be very important for our future.
Okay, then. So, are you an educator, or what do you do?
No, I'm retired. I'm a friend of Ma Shariki, and she invited me, but I am a retired administrator from Kaiser Permanente, and right in my retirement, most of what I'm involved in is just making my community better in any way that I can.
Okay, and so how long were you with Kaiser?
I was with Kaiser for 37 years, and I've been retired for 11 years.
So you was when were there when they've changed so much. I mean, I've been with Kaiser since 1970, and
Wow.
boy, it is worse than ever, man. But anyway, it's good to have you on. Please stay connected to it.
I shall.
We could use your consciousness and your deep thinking and your experience, because we do talk about health a lot here. In regards of our program, especially on Community Education Network tomorrow, a lot of health discussions come up. But getting back to these issues of the Trump administration and the victory. See, what this system wants you to think is that you ain't doing nothing. Ain't none of your people doing nothing. And so therefore they don't talk about, the media don't focuses on our victory, because that would empower and motivate others to get involved. And we have to play up these victories, especially with our coalitions and alliances with other groups, like the coalitions and alliances that was built to get Madani elected. We can duplicate that in other areas. With progressive thoughts and progressive development. I don't think Bernie Sanders could did it, because he's a white man, Jewish man. And second, it took a man of color to reach the people of color, like Mandela. It took a man of that felt for the people. Now, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders didn't argue for the people, but they just dismissed him as just a crazy old man. But Mondatin was able to get 104,000 volunteers to walk and talk to people about his election and his ideas. And second, he was steadfast on his positions of democratic socialism. And as I said, that just means the tax money we pay and the things that we contribute to this society mandate that they reciprocate by reversing that money back to the cities and to the states to deal with their chronic problems and issues, such as homelessness, such as unemployment, such as youth unemployment, such as those things. Because right after the Watts Rebellion, they had a lot of youth jobs, WLC, AC, Watts Labor Community Action Agency, the Watts Manufacturing, Manpower Development, where the government paid partial salary for companies that would hire minorities, the anti-poverty program, community action programs like Ernest, remember 555 Pacific Coast Highway, and that's where Head Start and all these programs came into being. You don't want to see that. Those were victories. They talked about we're doing the Watts and Rebellion. You burn down your own buildings and things of this nature. But you wouldn't have Martin Luther King holiday. You wouldn't have Ujima Village, apartment complex. You wouldn't have the various employment upscale for Black people if it wasn't for that struggle. A lot of Black people got hired in the major stores. They needed Black people as a front to let people know that they're not racist. So they started hiring Black people. A lot of that came out of the struggle, but they make you feel like, oh, you just destroyed your community and you did this and you did that. Shopping centers. I remember Willie Nalls opened up the first Kentucky Fried Chicken in Compton on Rosecrans, where Tam's Burger Stand is right now. And then he went on 103rd and opened up a shopping center. Willie Nalls was basketball player that came back and invested in the community. Dick Bass, who was a football player, opened up a bail bonds in downtown Compton. And so there was a lot of progressive things that happened that we don't see. And opening up the community colleges at that time, we had strong enrollment. But nowadays, it's hard to get young people to go to school because they need jobs and they need money. And the drug inflection, they just had a big conference at Cal State Dominguez on the crack epidemic. I listened to it. I got a video of the whole program. The problem is they didn't have people that really went through the crack epidemic as hustlers and sellers and dealers. And they had mostly scholars, ministers, and things of this nature who really never was involved in it, because you had to go all the way back to the drug culture of America to understand how it evolved all the way up to where it is, the crack epidemic, and now the fentanyl epidemic. And before that, it was barbiturates, Red Devils, and White Bennies. And then before that, you know, it was cocaine and snorting it and things of this nature, cocaine and shooting it, cocaine, speedballing, mixing heroin and cocaine. You had to have that whole vision to understand why people acquiesce to crack, because our people were selling it to them. And our people were selling it to them because they make a lot of money. And they were getting it from other people. Black people didn't have no cocaine manufacturing. They don't have no cocaine factories in these various other countries. And like, they don't have the heroin poppy plants in Turkey or any place like that. But we have to deal with that to explain it. That's all I'm saying. A lot of them were just on that discussion was just talking hyperbole about the government's involvement in cocaine selling. Well, yeah. But they were giving drugs to Freeway Rick and other families to sell it for them at reduced prices. Then they made it affordable. Cocaine used to be a drug for the rich. They weren't smoking it like crack. Then they found ways to make it more potent through freebase. Then they found a way to make it even more potent through making it into rocks and smoking and making it cheap. I mean, you can get $1.50 worth of crack. And, you know, that's like McDonald's dropping their burgers to $5, you know, and things of this nature. And then people just flooded. And there's a whole history and science of why the crack epidemic and the role of police and government, local government agencies' involvement in trying to get supplemental income. Even though they're making money, they wanted more money. And they busted a lot of police departments that were taking evidence out of the evidence room and reselling it and things of this nature. So we as a people have to study, and that's the key. Study, and don't just speak hyperbole off your mind. Go into the history and the science of why these things happen in order to solve it. I mean, we have to start teaching our children at birth not to mess with drugs, especially illicit drugs. But we have to get them on a nutritional trip too, because that's what it's causing the diabetes and the high blood pressure, because we're feeding them salt and sugar. And then they have to wash it down with more sugar, sweet drinks. And could you imagine going into a 7-Eleven or going into Arco station, and now they're selling sodas and chips and candy and everything else. And then at the same time, they want to know why young people aren't healthy. And then somebody come out, and your kids want a big gulp, giant soda. You understand? And you buy it for them because they want it. Rather than thinking health and nutrition, and say, no, you eat an apple, you don't need that. You know, I mean, it takes discipline. I remember, Ernest, and you do too. Our parents used to make us eat vegetables.
Yeah.
Don't stand behind you, you're going to clean that place. You know, and more people ate at home. Now it's rare that people on the go so much that they want to go to fast food places, and that's one of the that's worse than crack house. You understand? You got to look at fast food places. That's crack house, but it's hard to get young people to do that with the advertising. They're entertainers. And they're black entertainers and black superstars advertising, you know, go get you a Taco Bell. This. And they don't even know what's in the meat with Taco Bell. Just like, you know, they don't know what's in the meat with the Jack in the Box. You understand the stretch it. You know they're going to stretch the meat, you know, stretch it. And, it's just a question of us educating our children and ourselves. We have to change ourselves as adults. You know, we don't have to change, but we should think about changing. It's hard to get our older folks to stop smoking, but they still do. It's hard to get them to change their habits of eating certain kinds of food, but they still do. And I'm not saying some people can eat it and live longer than people that don't eat it. But it's about health and nutrition. And you may live longer, but how did you live? You know, with a bunch of pills on your table, going to the doctor every week for injections and other form of thing. So we gotta deal with that. Now, getting back to our main subject. About Mamdani and about Epson. Epson and Mamdani. Mamdani was, as I said, a victory of the people. But at the same time, we got to look at the Epson case as not only a victory for the people, in one hand, but a diversion from what happened to the black community worldwide. That they don't focus on as far as Trump cutting off all medications and all services to third world countries, specifically African countries, where he cut off medication and other social services. No one's talking about that, even our black caucus. All they're talking about is ways to get back in power. But they got to bring those issues in also. It's very critical that they raise those issues that are affecting our people all the time. I mean, health-wise and life-wise and genocide. The war in Sudan and Darfur are they pit is African civil war. But who's financing who's giving them the gun and the weapon? And the bullets, you understand? Why are they doing it? Why do they want that war to continue? You see, and you got to look at Saudi Arabia, you got to look at America and Europe. They all got interest in African land and African businesses and oil and minerals and resources. And that's what they're trading. The people are giving them for guns and access for the guns and And you even got a drones. Those people have been fighting for years. They didn't have drones. All of a sudden that they got drones. We got to think in terms of that and raise these issues that would get people up and involved about the strategies of who's behind a lot of the demonization of black people and why they do that. Okay. Terrence, you have any comments?
No.
All right, then what about you, Ahi? You there, Ahi?
No, just that I think the message. I think that the message. Madami had the message, and I think that Bernie had the message. I really do. I think that with the message, he could have carried because the young people were there, and that's what they want. The young people were there when he said the rich are going to have to pay their part of it. Why should Americans all not have to go broke and go to the poorhouse for health? What about the general things that Madami was talking about for the local New Yorkers as far as free bus rides, control of this rent, getting that stuff under control where people can live in their city, and the different general services that the city provides, and just the way they treat the people. Bernie had that message also. I think he could have really carried. And I think that the Democratic Party knew that, and they cut him off when he got to North Carolina. And the brothers was down there, including my frat brother, who was a congressman down there. And they switched up on him and stuck Biden's behind in there. And Biden is conservative. He's a conservative president, just like the brother that was in there, Obama. They're conservative people, and they're ignoring, they've got to the point where they're ignoring the liberal part, the liberal wing of the Democratic part of the party, and that has been their downfall. And that's why people now are looking for alternative ways to have their voices heard, not so much. Oh, and I wanted to say something else. Look at all our young people who did, when they did start off with SNCC and the different, even the Black Panther Party, the different parties, the people that came in with the young people who had a different part voice outside of the system itself, the two-party system, where did they end up? In the doggone system itself, in the Democratic Party. How do we keep the momentum with the young people? Why are they always getting sucked up into the two main parties when we know that there's limited change and influence when you become a part of those two parties? How do we keep our young people in there, what they feel within and within what they feel is important, what and keep them from what the main parties feel are important. Okay. This is more than I planned. Okay.
Yeah, but see, there's some issues also. Like we have Compton College in Compton. It's hard to get our young people to go to college, and a part of it because of institutions. The institution doesn't make a curriculum that attracts them. Trade Tech has nothing but vocational programs. So they're full. Maxine Waters Vocational Center, full. But when we look at Compton College, which is more socially driven, academically driven for people, you don't have a lot of minority African American, have a lot of Latino, but not that many also. I mean, the population of getting young people in the school right down the street from them. But there's like you were saying, you got to give them a reason to want to go to school. Now, if you had plumbing, electrician, training and fiber optics and all those type of jobs, dealing with the future, and vocational things that, like Thompson College used to have one of the best nursing programs out, but you had to pass that state test. And second, it's not easy to go through nursing because of the, I mean, you're the front line as a doctor, administrating drugs and doing things to take care of the patient while the doctor's out on the golf course. And these are things that it's so difficult. The prerequisites to get into a nursing program is almost a year, 2 years away. And then you got to go through a 2 year rigorous program. Now they do have some vocational nursing school, but at the same time, it's very difficult. And enough studies have not been done to determine how many people go to vocational school and pass the state test to be a registrar RN or vocational nurse. And then, I mean, it's just difficult, that position. But, and it's hard work. It's hard work. I mean, it's not easy being a nurse, because you generally understaffed, and you generally, you got supervisors, you masters, and you can go and get, but it's difficult. And I'm pretty sure the sisters that's on here as an administrator for Kaida can attest to that, but we have to come up with new strategies to engage young people, as we have all said, and we got to work that out. All right.
Yeah, well, I teach a class over at Dorsey High School, and it's, I teach them life lessons. And this is the kind of information that I impart to them. That Dorsey is teaching them their ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, but nobody is teaching them, how to manage money and how to navigate some of the systems in life that, oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to get off. My cable has been off all day, and they're knocking at my door to come fix it. So, but I've enjoyed it, and I'll come back, I promise. Okay?
Okay, and we want to hear more from you, okay?
Okay. All right.
All
Bye-bye.
right. Rasha Key's not here, so we're going to close out. I'm not sure. You go to the website to find out who's going to be on tomorrow.